101, 104. Call the meeting to order. That's a lot. And Sue is not here. Do I have a volunteer who would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you, Shashan.
Please stand if you are able and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Yes, ma'am. Okay, Nicola Arabo. Present. Paul Brewer. Barry J.
Present.
Did you miss Linda Cardosa?
I already have, sir.
Oh, okay.
Andrea Collins. There's a highlight over her name. Does that mean anything?
Is she pointing points that she hasn't had much response from? Is
yes.
That why we have her? Yes.
Anne Hertz Malari. Margaret Huang.
Here.
Thank you. Elizabeth Menes. And we talk about Susan. And Fadding Chong.
Yes.
And Mudry?
Yes, son.
Thank you. And then we have Rachel Owens.
Oh, I guess I'm here.
Okay. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you for being here. Tara Siegel.
Present.
Thank you, Pat. Barbara Sloat. Amita St. Matthews.
Present.
Thank you. And Nathan Steele. Dave Wheeler. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Joni is
absent.
Okay.
In Yosemite. Can you imagine if she thought that was more important?
Exactly. How dare she? How dare she?
All right. Thank you.
At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments shall be limited to 3 minutes unless the chair pre-identifies a different time at the start of all public speakers. Do we have any? We have. Oh. All right. Guess who's up?
She was directed to the building.
Yes, back. I was every 2 minutes and I was like, checking out all your bad buildings.
May I get to introduce you? Oh. But I cannot pronounce your last name. So.
Don't worry about it. It's Alpha Dog.
Alpha Dog, yes. So MECCA stands for Multi-Ethnic Collaborative of Community Organizations. They serve a diverse cultural communities across Orange County in the health and social services field. MECCA's office is in Santa Ana, and they have 9 subcontracting agencies providing direct services. They're a nonprofit and have been serving Orange County for over 10 years. One of the programs is what we're going to talk about today, early intervention services for older adults. It is a behavioral health prevention, early intervention program funded by the Orange County Healthcare Agency. All right. Thank you for being here today. We do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm so sorry again for being delayed. Thank you for your time and the generous introduction. So my name again is May Akadagi. I'm the program coordinator at MECCA for the Early Intervention Services for Older Adults program. So I'm not sure how I should move these slides to that fast. Okay, there we go. So just a quick agenda for today, where we're just going to go over MECCA as an agency, our history, and a little introduction on us, our different subcontracting agencies and the work we do with them, the service areas we work in, early intervention services for older adults. This is the program I'll focus on today because that is the program I work with, referrals and how it works to get people kind of into our program, visual narrative to show you some of the great work that we do, because I think pictures sometimes speak louder than words, and then contacts and questions. So MECA's history. We were founded in 2010 by a group of executive directors, one of whom is from the Cambodian family that Amina represents today. So the reason that our executive directors came together is because they wanted to leverage power together as multi-ethnic agencies to be able to access better grants and serve their communities more. So it was really created by the community for the community, and MECA remains with all of our founding collaborative partners for the last 10 years. We are still collaborating with all of them, and we have retained all of them since the founding of our agency. We serve the Arabic, Chinese, Farsi, Korean, Spanish, Khmer, and Vietnamese speaking communities. I had to read it. It's a good list. And we address intersectionalities like LGBTQ+ identities, disabilities, immigration status, economic disparities, and health inequities. So these are our collaborative members. We have AASCFC, the Asian American Senior Citizen Service Center. We have KCS, Korean Community Services. We have Southland Integrated Services, ABRAZAR, Omid Multicultural Institute for Development, the Cambodian family that Amina represents, Access California, OCTEC, which is the Orange County Children's Therapeutic Arts Center, and then VROC. So all of these agencies are working with us on ISOA, except for AASCFC and VROC. They collaborate with us on different programs. So ISOA is the short name for Early Intervention Services for Older Adults, so you'll hear me use that acronym often. It's just easier to say. So our collaborators for ISOA are 7 out of these 9. So again, MECA services, we provide mostly services in the health and human services field, particularly behavioral health. We have a CalWORKs home visitation program for families with children under 2. It is funded by Orange County SSA, and with our collaborators, of course. We also have the Early Intervention Services for Older Adults, where we work with Orange County seniors from the age of 60 and above. Our level of entry is very low, so we don't want to create any barriers for people to access the program. And we don't have any requirements aside from their age and their residency. Yeah. So if they're residents of Orange County and they're above the age of 60, they're eligible for this program. Of course, we also have like eligibility requirements in terms of like someone's being within the early intervention spectrum, a scope of our work. So we can't necessarily assist with somebody who's already had a very high level diagnosis who would need a higher level of care for mental health services. It's primarily still have to be somebody who exists in the early intervention realm, prevention. So because that is a grant that we are funded by for Orange County. So it's a prevention and early intervention funding.
Why you touched on that, do you also involve adults that's living with a senior?
Yes, so we have different assessments that we do during our intake, and some of these assessments will test things like quality of life, a GAD space, which is like a depression scale that the county has provided for us, and then also another assessment to see where somebody falls in the range of their mental needs, their mental health needs.
Okay, I'm talking about the senior. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the senior as a older child lives with them. They're the ones that have been living with
So that would be a different program. To be honest, we don't have a senior caregiver program. We could still accommodate the senior in terms of providing them with emotional support, assisting them with support groups, helping them with accessing therapy. If you know, there is sometimes a emotional toll that's taken on caregivers, and we want to make sure that we have that caregiver access to services. So as long as the parent of the person with mental illness is above 60 and a resident of Orange County, and again, they fall into that we also have a Hope for Orange County crisis counseling program. We have just sunsetted that program, but it is a grant-based program, so it comes on and off depending on funding. It was a crisis counseling program that was started in the pandemic to ensure that people who didn't have insurance, who didn't have access to mental health services, would be able to have access to a crisis mental health line where they could call and speak to people in different languages. And you'll notice that the reason we talk about all the different agencies we work with and the languages we serve is because we are trying to access underserved populations who have previously not had access to healthcare and behavioral health care in specific. So that's why we have all of these languages that we serve in, and we have community partners who are experts in their cultures and their backgrounds in how to reach out to people in their community. And we leverage that expertise from them to ensure that we are perceived, we are giving culturally appropriate and educated information to people and services. So the other programs we have is family mentoring. We work partner with the regional center. We have substance use disorder programs who are mainly focused with young children. So it's called the Youth Opioid Response Program. So it's TAE, ages 14 to 24, so it's a wide age range, but they do a lot of different trainings on the dangers of fentanyl. We have Narcan and fentanyl test strips that we provide to the community. So their focus is really trying to reach the 14 to 24 year old youth and educate them on the risks of substance use and the making sure they can access services that they need, including medication assisted treatment, if that is what they are providing. Other programs we have are like ACEs related programs. Those are also grant funded, so they come in and out, and stigma reduction programs. We'll have those on and off throughout the year, depending on the grants that we have. Because we are a nonprofit, so we operate on the availability of funds for some of these programs. So ISOA is what, like I mentioned, what I'll be talking about today. This is our general flyer. We have a more updated one because I know everyone from the county looks at the funding statement. I know it's not updated because this is our older one, but I promise you we have a new one that we are providing to the county, to our community members. And as you see from the flyer, we try to keep it really bright, really engaging for people so that they have a visual on top to see who we are serving to the general public. We have our requirements on there. We have some of our services, our overview, and our collaborative partners in the language of Facebook.
I also want to add that the flyer are all in different languages as well. So
yeah, so our partners are very amazing with translation, and that when we provide them an English flyer, they always make sure, or any materials, they make sure that they translate it in a way that is relatable to their populations. I know the county also has a translation program, but with our subcontractors, they have kind of a pulse on their community, and they know what wording to use, they know what it will kind of catch someone's attention. They know what triggers to avoid in terms of labeling mental health, because there is stigma in a lot of our communities. So they're very careful with their wording to ensure that they are reaching the people who need the services, but also to make sure that the translation is appropriate and accurate for the services to provide. So that's why we really do leverage our community members who are part of that, our founders, right? Our community support partners who are founders of MECA to tell us what are the needs of their community so that we can make sure we're always engaged with that and meeting them. So again, these are our ISOA agencies. There are 7 of our 9 founding agencies. It is OCTEC, TCF, Abrazar, Access, KCS, Southland, and OMEED. And just a reminder, they serve in Spanish, Khmer, Arabic, Korean, Farsi, and Vietnamese. These are the languages they provide services. So highlights of ISOA, what we provide, all of our services are at no cost. They are for participants and also for members of the public. So even if you are not, let's say, an enrolled ISOA member and you're a member of the public who's just interested in attending an ISOA class, it is open. Anyone can attend. Our class schedule is posted online on our website for anyone to view, because that is part of our funding with the county, that we make these programs available to the public at no cost. We have in-person and online education workshops and socialization events. They are focused on, obviously, the needs of older adults, but we also have many events that are based on awareness months. So, for example, in September, it was Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. We had many different events for suicide prevention awareness. We also have resource referrals and linkages. So our community partners are very connected with their communities. They know what's in their local area. They know what resources, food banks, housing, really anything that an older adult would need nearby them. And they're very good at finding those resources and connecting people to those. And the reason this is a big part of our services is because somebody who is isolated or under connected to resources in their community is more likely to fall into a risk of a behavioral health condition. So we want to make sure that they are accessing all the services around them. They're connected to their community. They're connected to what's out there in terms of resources, and that there are no either language or cultural barriers preventing them from accessing the services that are there for them. The other services we have are case management and home visits. So our lovely case managers will conduct a home visit with the older adult that's interested in joining the program. They will, obviously, with their permission, visit them at home, check in on them, do wellness checks, create SMART goals with them. We have a planning sheet where they will plan with the older adult three kind of goals they're hoping to get from joining this program. And the duration of our program is typically 12 months maximum. So it's an entire year of providing the support. And these visits are very frequent. So it obviously depends on the person and their comfortability. We do not impose kind of strict numbers on every participant because everyone's different. Some people, you know, live in a home where it's a multi-generational home. There's a lot of people in and out. They don't want people coming to visit. So we will accommodate with them and we will visit them at a community center. Or we will invite them to one of our contracting agencies to conduct these visits. And but also we also kind of want to come to their house and see what are they maybe not sharing with us because they don't know that that's a need that's available for them, right? Like maybe when we visit them, we've noticed that they're missing some accessibility ramps at their home. And we know that they are all on Medi-Cal. Maybe we can connect them to Medi-Cal's programs that assist with accessibility, machinery, and those types of things in their home, right? So sometimes having our case managers visit in the home gives a different perspective for the needs of the person because a lot of the times our community members who are serving are not familiar with what they can ask. So having a case manager in the home can help them identify some of the things just by looking. You know, like, oh, I see that you have this. There's a service out there that can help you with this. Are you sometimes it's as simple as that? And then also we have individual therapy, group and individual therapy, depending on their interests. And then also a general psychiatry referral for medication connection if the older adult is needing of that service. So these are all, again, optional services. They're not required on any of our participants. Obviously, we have to do some home visits and check-ins, but we don't enforce therapy or general psychiatry on any participant unless they are willing and wanting of that service. And we do a lot of different, through our educational class, a lot of different raising awareness on different parts of why it might be good to see a therapist, what time in your life you might want to talk to someone who's not perhaps part of your family when you're having problems with your family. Things of that sort. So during our education classes, we make sure that we are presenting them with the range of services that we have for them and also letting them know how to access services outside. Because as I mentioned, XOR is only really a 12-month sort of program at the max. So our goal is to connect them to people in their community services in their community that are not friendly, that they can access at any time of the year, that they can increase their independence with, and that they can assist themselves with after XOR is out of their lives. So that's a big part of our education and referrals as well. So again, eligibility for our participants is that they are the age of 60 or above and that they are residents of Orange County. Those are really the only eligibility criteria to be able to have somebody be screened for ISOA. And then obviously once the screening has been conducted, we have to also check that they are in the prevention and early intervention range of their mental health scores to make sure that we can accurately give them the services they are intended to. So obviously we don't want to be bring somebody in because we are kind of a light touch in terms of a mental health approach. It is a light touch mental health service, so it's not appropriate for somebody who is necessarily on a higher range of need for mental health services, who, for example, have a very kind of severe diagnosis where they would need 24/7 leader supervision. That's not necessarily what ISO is. We can help with referrals to that because we always connect people to Medi-Cal. We try and have the access things for their insurance, so we could assist with referrals to the appropriate agencies for that, but that's not necessarily what ISO was created for. The referral method is very simple. You can either call MECA or any of our subcontracted agencies directly, the person themselves, or maybe a caregiver with them, or perhaps a community member who's heard of it. They are actually, through the Cambodian family, the word of mouth is the best way that we're able to get participants. You know, their community is very connected, they're very tight-knit, they know each other. And so once somebody has gone through the ISO program, they've seen the benefit. They're in love with the staff there. They know that no one's there to help them. They're very good at telling everybody else they meet around their age that there is this great program that you could benefit from it and that they recommend it to them too. So word of mouth is really a big plus for us because it means that the community recognizes the services that we're giving them and they're receiving the love because that is our biggest sort of indicator of success is that the people we're serving are recognizing that service, but also sharing with others. You can also email us as well directly to MECA or any of our self-contracted agencies. So once the referral is received, the potential participant will be contacted. Usually it's me or my supervisor who will contact them, just make sure that they're still interested. We'll explain the details of the program. We'll ask for their permission to share their number or their email. with one of our subcontractors, and most of the time we will link them with a subcontractor based on language preference or location. So as we mentioned, a lot of our subcontractors are providing services in non-English languages. So if our participant is, for example, an English speaker, we would try to make sure that we connect them with the one or two agencies that serve in English as well. So some of our agencies do have English classes. So Avrazar, for example, has a lot of English classes. So we would usually connect an English speaker to Avrazar. And then also the same way, if you don't speak English, there's going to be a different language, we will offer them that option and share that that is an option for them if they're interested in connecting people in that language. Okay, so this is one of our visual narratives. These are some of the great programs we've had throughout the years. We've had different workshops for art and painting that are multi-generational. So we've had older adults and their grandchildren come in together and have a time to bond. We've had a May mental health event that we shared with all of our different agencies. So we had people come from every one of our 7 agencies from different ethnic backgrounds, and we connected them all together. We had presentations from the Alzheimer's Association and from Southern California Legal Aid to present them with information on the Medi-Cal. And all of our agencies were providing spontaneous translation during the entire presentation. We also had, Avrazar has had very much success in different grants that were assisting with utility assistance. So this was one of the grants they had when they were helping older adults during the pandemic with utility assistance, and they were providing their checks to help them offset some of these costs. And then these are some of our Zoom classes. I think they were having I think St. Patrick's Day is what that one was. during Zoom, yes. So they were having a great time. We never stopped our services, even when the pandemic hit, and we know that we are serving a vulnerable population to illness and to transferable diseases. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't leaving them high and dry just because we couldn't see them in person. We immediately transitioned to online. We encouraged everybody to ask for assistance when they didn't know about technical assistance, and our case managers were great about going out to each agency in a safe, with a safe distance, and assisted everybody in getting set on their electronics to make sure they could access online. And this is another example of some of the other events we did. So KCS was having a wreath building activity during the holidays. We know that the holidays are very difficult times for older adults who are isolated, who don't necessarily have family locally, because they are seeing a lot of festivities and they are feeling very sort of removed from all of that happiness. We want to make sure that we are celebrating every chance we get. Right? So we'll celebrate everything. We want to make sure everyone's having a chance to come out, connect with people their age, connect with the resources, and feel that they are part of our community, that we love them and we want them to be around, and that we are encouraging for them to be part of front and center in every event. We never want older adults to feel like they don't belong somewhere. And then also some other distribution programs, some more education programs, and other art programs that we've had throughout the course. So I think that's it. this is our content. Thank you. I think because I was late, I was like, I was bored. This is my contact information right here. This is my email. This is my supervisor's email. Her name is Shelley No. Those are our phone numbers if you need to contact us. We are happy to field any questions you have. We're happy to speak with potential participants. We would love to get everybody's input at the end.
I have lots of questions of investment skills.
Go ahead, you start. I'll jump in.
Yes, I have a minimum question. We'll start with the easy ones, hopefully.
That's it.
But not next one. Do you have an office?
We do, yes.
Do people come to the office, or they just call in and you go to them typically?
So MECA does have an office, but we don't necessarily have participants coming to our office because we don't provide the direct service. We are basically the nonprofit administrative backbone to our paid, our collaborators who are providing direct service. So each of our collaborators has an office, is welcoming to the public. A lot of them have different programs that are open in community centers. Some of them are actually based in local community centers. For example, Avrazar is at the Midway City Community Center. So they're open to the public at all business hours, and they provide food drives, things like that. So everybody kind of has a hub that people can go to in terms of the direct service providers, but not necessarily MECA experience.
You have many offices.
Yes.
And you have to come there, or you go there all the above.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I noticed in your list of just important groups, do you have any religious support groups?
So it just depends on the participants who are in that cohort. If they have requested a support group, so for example, Access California is a Muslim organization, but they serve refugees from every background. They have a support group that is sometimes hosted by one of their local imams, and he will come out and share sort of a prayer with everybody. They will do their group therapy with a faith informed way, because that's been just in several lessons. So
you do have with, yeah, all different living descriptions or potential.
Yes, there's all the potential. If they've requested it, you can always associate, create it. It's just we haven't had it long running because our cohorts change very frequently. So we want to make sure that we're really getting what people are asking for. So if somebody asks for a support group that has a religious background, we are 100% happy to.
A lot of people that is a background of their support structure.
That's it,
okay.
Yes.
What's your question?
It's a good question. I believe we are about 1 million people.
In a year.
Which
that's relatively small.
Yes, very, very small.
Now the hard question, how much that goes to admin salaries as opposed to architecture?
That's a good question. I have a coordinator, so I think that is a little my pay grade. You just have to speak to this program.
Good answer.
Let me ask about that.
Yes.
All kind of organization. I'm sorry, I've never heard of your organization, but some organizations that collect money and they'll give it all to their trips and their salaries and budgets, and nobody can give it to them. You know, people that are fancy or thing they're trying to help. So I always,
yeah,
I was asked that.
Well, thank you for asking.
That would,
but
be,
also
that would be an interesting thing, because like you say, you know, 75% of the money we take in, you know, goes to actually, you know, having events and on people and go on, as opposed to 25%.
Yes, definitely. And just to share that Mecca does not generally collect donations. We are on this budget from the county, and all of our usage is tracked by the county. So all of the money distributions is tracked through our county audits every year. So the county knows exactly what we're spending our money on. They see every dollar and where it goes, and they know which agency is getting how much, and it's distributed amongst all our 7 agencies. So that 1 million is even further chunked into smaller pieces, if that is the correct number, I'm not sure. But the purpose of this, that we don't collect donations, we don't ask people for money, we are using very
strict
regimented
budgets.
They are monitored by the county, so they know where to use the
county.
Yes,
Orange County Health Care Agency.
Yes,
Orange County
Health Care Agency.
Sorry? Sorry.
What's the HCA? Is
it's the Health Care Agency.
You might want to talk about doctors and psychiatry. Do you get volunteer doctors? Do you have doctors?
We have contracted doctors. So we have subcontracted doctors in 2 different locations that provide services in 2 different languages. And then we provide, so through the ISO program, we pay for the visits that the participant has, the first 2 or 3 visits, depending on the need that the doctor sees. And then the doctor will establish if this participant is still in the range of early intervention or if they need long-term connection to more kind of intensive weekly therapy sessions. And then from there, we will transition them to that reference based on the doctor's recommendations.
So you have to pay for the doctor.
The program
so
pays for
doctor.
No, we do not, unfortunately. I wish we did. Orange County is actually very undersaturated with older, because we look for geropsychiatrists, which are psychiatrists who are really specialized with older adults, because we want to make sure we're not like hiring new psychiatrists who specialize in children. We want to know that they are familiar with this age range, they've worked with people in this stage of their life, and they know what are the steps, what are the triggers, and what are the things to look out for somebody in that age range.
However, one of our council members, his wife is a psychiatrist. I'm not sure I can twist her arm to give you volunteer, but
you would love it. You want to
part? One step, just a suggestion. UCI Medical, Child is for Children. UCI Medical, I have a lot of doctors that go on rotations. My son went on rotation when he went to medical school. They actually had a rotation where they went out to the community and they were like a local doctor for a while.
Well, but the focus, remember, here is mental health.
Well, I know that UCI has that too. So I'm saying one of the suggestions, I contact UCI and see the doctors that are in your range. If they have any program that might be interested in giving students basically opportunity to go out and practice and also help both sides. Anyway,
yeah, that's a great idea. I would just say the only restriction there is that we have a contact from the Orange County Healthcare Agency, we're only allowed to work with licensed.
We all, they're not exactly students working medical school. They're under a doctor to sign them. So they're allowed to get medicine and all that stuff.
If there's an exception, I'm sure we'll find it.
From the, it's not,
Okay. One more, and then we'll jump in.
I've got three more.
Go ahead.
You mentioned stigma.
Yeah.
And a lot of things have stigma attached to them. Okay. Behaviors or social attitudes or anything like that. But I want to make sure that when you talk about stigma, that you don't talk about this. You don't start to say, well, everything's okay. You know, you do need help.
No, of course. Like I said, we really do try and strike a balance between being culturally appropriate but also educational. So that is why we really leverage all of our community partners, because they are part of these communities. They know exactly how to talk to their mothers, their aunts, their grandmothers about issues of mental health, to make sure that we're centering the person's health at the end of the day, right? We want to be sensitive to their emotions. We want them to be receptive to the services, which is why we are doing all of the best work we can to make sure the wording is friendly, to make sure that they see us as a safe place, to make sure that they are having access to people who are culturally kind of informed, they know how to talk to them, and not just come to them and say, so I heard you're crazy. You're in therapy, right? That's not what we want to come out in different languages.
Okay, it's all fine. They are crazy, but you didn't. You're okay, I'm perfectly normal.
Perfectly normal.
A coordination question.
Yes.
I'm a representative of my city. We have a transportation program. Seniors, like give the ages, because we take them to the airport, we take them where it's stored and everything. Mm-hmm. You coordinate with cities and we express them off the Opta also is a program transportation team. Mm-hmm. Are you coordinating? I don't think you're coordinating with us.
So Opta's case.
Can you coordinate with cities?
Yeah.
So Bond DR?
Good question. So Opta does provide some of our subcontractors, because each of our subcontractors is a nonprofit on its own. So they make their own connections with different things that would benefit their community. So I know KCS and people need to care as well. They have connections with Opta State Bus Passes too.
We have individuals, so we're in cities too. That's right.
That's a great suggestion. And I do believe so. Yes, I have to
get the book. Okay, that's good.
And the new version is coming out next month.
Oh,
it is.
Yes.
The new answers.
New answers is coming out next month.
When you reminded me by mentioning it, so ISOA is actually a sort of mirror of another program that's running in Orange County too through the COA, which is the Council on Aging, which is what their main stands for. So COA actually operates a program that is very specific. ISOA, they have the same budget, they have the same sort of line items through the county, and they provide it in English and Chinese. Yeah, well, that's a great question. I've actually not been around with that long, so I don't have a very lengthy history with ISOA. I've been here for a year. But in the year that I've been here, we've had lots of really wonderful events. So we had a Thanksgiving event. I know Iversar had a Thanksgiving event where they were giving out turkeys and pumpkins, and everyone was coming in to create like a thankfulness tree, and they were all kind of connected to, you know, what makes you love the holidays. And then we've also had religious holidays, like I mentioned, Access Cal, they do Eid every year, so they celebrate Eid. It's a really big party. Everybody loves it, and they'll bring their kids, and we have a concert for carnival. And I know also the Cambodian family has My New Year, so I was able to attend their My New Year event, which was a great party. They had My TV come. Basically, everybody in the community came with their family. It was a really great exploration of that culture that I've never been exposed to, but also for people from the community to know that, you know, we have a party, come on in. And there was people who weren't coming to the party and knowing that these are part of our neighbors, these are community members, this is the culture they're from, these are the foods that they eat. Obviously, food is a very big grounder for all their adults who love food. So every one of our events is kind of like a potluck style, everybody brings a nice chair and food, because that's kind of a very cultural way to show love to each other.
I also want to add that we have lots of field trips.
We have lots of field trips.
So all of the agencies that I was presenting here, they do different activities with the seniors. So with us, we've taken them to the zoo, we've taken them to the mall, just kind of getting them out there so that they're able to socialize and network with other folks as well.
So we have collaboration with
Aquarium. I'm Shane's having time this Saturday in Laguna Hills. We're having an event that we call our Heritage Day. We started last year. I was mayor that we had the first annual place 7 years. Spread our Saturday second annual. If I didn't come see it. This year we have the Consul General of Spain that will be there. I remember Jeff, the ambassador, somewhere in line. And we have a lot of the object this year is the Spanish year. We'll vary that from year to year. We're trying to do the same thing. So if you come and this all happens.
That's wonderful. I'd love to have a flyer that will share it with all of our contactors. I'm sure. I'll give you my card. The same year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Others? Welcome.
I was wondering how you get your word out, since I know, so Jason, you haven't heard of you, and I haven't heard of you. Are you in the senior center, assisted living facilities, memory care locations?
So I think the strongest indicator of why you don't hear about MECA is because we're not the direct service providers.
Yeah.
Really, you'll probably hear of MOA Family, Abra's, or OMI, right? They are all the direct service providers. So you'll probably hear their names first before you hear ours. But this year, we're really trying to do a push because it's hard when everybody is kind of in their own groups to advertise and let everyone's voices. So that's where MECA comes in to try and share that we have all of these different programs. So we're trying to come into every community space we can find. We're going to different city events, we're going to the council places, we're going to connections with Alzheimer's Association. We just made a connection with Optima PACE. So we go to the PACE program, we provided a presentation for their case managers to make sure that everybody who's in the PACE program in Orange County, and forget what city it's in right now, I think it's PACE. Yeah, they have like a really huge, beautiful building that Cal Optima just opened, and they have a day program for older adults. So that's where we recently connected with them. The reason is really we don't want our name to be necessarily known. We want our agencies who are doing the work to be known. And that's why we're trying to just make these presentations as soon as possible. But thank you for that. Request. I'm sorry you haven't heard of us. It's on us. We got to do better. And so we're doing our best to be everywhere we can. And if you know of another space that we should be in, we should be sharing this information in, please reach out. We'd be happy to.
Thank you, May. Just a quick question. Because you're funded, you receive funding. How do you measure the numbers served through ISOA?
It's a great question. So we do have, because like every other county program, right, we have a file that we make for every participant. We have different assessments that we do based on intake, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and discharge. And then we have these gold sheet planners. So we have an ID numbers, we have surveys that we do. So there's different measures that we make sure we're following. All of our case managers are very thoroughly trained in how to make sure they are maintaining a very kind of robust connection with their participants, but also a robust paper trail. To make sure we know what to look back on, and we know kind of what were our tasks when I first met you last year, right? It's not just kind of all the memories, it's really well detailed and documented in a lot of different boxes and kinds of programs.
Each organization has a set goal or deliverable that they have.
Thank you. That helps
as well.
Yes. Yeah. So every organization individually has their own deliverable, and MECA as collaborative, as the contractor with the counties, we also have our numerical deliverables that we have to meet. So we have a certain number of home visits we have to meet, a certain number of therapy hours that have to be met as a collaborative, right? And then we break that down to just to make sure we're providing services as needed.
Karen, you had another question. And so typically then how many people does that represent?
So I know last year from the number that I briefly glimpsed, we had about 400 participants that we were serving. Each year the numbers kind of fluctuate depending on what's going on, right? And each agency has their own numbers as well. We have about 50 per year. And so because again we have focused on populations with threshold languages in Orange County. Mm-hmm. Some of them will be much larger than others, but also we want to make sure that these are the language speakers, right? We can't kind of just create new language speakers in that number, which is kind of but where we find the need and we serve them.
And back to Dave's question of stigmas, are you finding as there's more education available in the community that barrier to asking for help is coming down. And we've heard from the Veterans Association that veterans won't ask for help.
Yeah.
But I know it can be a stigma in other cultures as well.
With the Kimbuna Family Community Center, when you started this program almost 10 years ago, and when we start talking about mental health, it is really a stigma. It's like, no, we don't want to talk about it. No one in our family needs it. We don't need these services. But as we continue to provide lots of education about mental health, what are the signs and symptoms? What does that look like if a family member, is not sleeping? What does that mental health look like in the family? And as we continue to provide this education, as we continue to speak on mental health, now we have folks calling in, requesting or referring their family member to these programs. So that's a really big win for us. Versus before, where it's like, no, we don't want to talk about it. We're not even going to mention that. And now we're getting referrals from family members saying, my dad needs something, or my mom needs services, or we just lost our mom. My dad's lonely. How can you guys help us? So I know that's happening within our community, and I know as well in other communities. As we continue to talk, as we normalize the speech about mental health,
right,
we're starting to see that little needle point.
And that's a Herculean task, to change somebody's mindset about mental health. I mean, we don't think twice about going to a doctor if you break an arm or hurt yourself physically, but dare you say, my outlook is not good. That's very, very, it's hard for some, especially I would say more so on the male side than the female side.
Mm-hmm. I just say it,
tell me more.
I think in terms of like generational as well, where you had the man was, the breadwinner of the house and always a strong one, not supposed to show any kind of emotion. I really do have to say I take my hat off to Prince Harry for helping destigmatize them, because I think the more that these people and influencers throughout the world will come out and talk about this and don't feel like they're, it's a taboo subject, the better it's going to be in the long. Everybody.
That's what was happening in Pontiac. The kid that shot.
Yes.
He was schizophrenic. The mother tried to do everything. Nobody helped her.
Yeah, I really wanted
to reiterate
this moment.
Yeah. Remember now, I had a crazy person in high school and college and stuff, so I'm going to be right. But when my son went to medical school, when he took his psychiatry rotation, I asked him a question. I said, I was never told if the person was okay or not, whatever. And I asked him, I said, can you really tell? He said, yeah, if you really had medical training, you can tell. Which makes the question, you said, you don't have too many doctors, you only go to them when you need one. And how do you evaluate your people for the mental parts if you don't really have the PhD outside the medical doctor to kind of.
That's a good question. So like I said, we don't necessarily evaluate. We are trying to catch signs and risk factors. So we base it on risk factors. So if somebody is isolated, if somebody is showing high kind of scores on these assessments that were provided from mental health providers, we are kind of an intake. So every intake with every mental health agency is going to have kind of a person at the front, necessarily not a doctor, but they have assessments that will show you levels and ranges that can indicate to you if this person needs a higher level of care. And that's kind of how you directly to the doctor. And so that's the same with our program. We have assessments that have been provided for mental health professionals, and also indicators that are social risk factors from best practices that we've seen in many prevention programs that are, for example, centered around social risk factors, right? If somebody doesn't have access to food, if somebody doesn't have access to somebody to talk to, if somebody lives alone, if somebody doesn't have transportation, if somebody has unmet physical health needs, all of these things will help us kind of make sure we're paying more attention to someone's outlook on life, making sure we're talking to them about, do you have a warm line you need to call? Do you have a community center that you visited? Do you have neighbors or friends that you can talk to? And it's really through relationship building. That was kind of the point I was trying to return to, that the reason for a lot of our success is I really attributed 100% to our collaborators' knowledge of their community members, right? So there are some cultures where people are just, they don't share, right? That doesn't necessarily mean that they are repressing emotion or that they are, you know, experiencing some sort of mental illness. That's not necessarily true. It's their cultural background that is the norm, right? And our providers are part of that culture. So they know that, okay, no, this participant is actually, you know, functioning very well. They're going to the grocery store. They're doing, they're meeting their basic needs. They have good connections with their family. Sure, they don't share in group therapy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have something that they're repressing, whether there is going to be a very, you know, looming issue in the background. That is just their cultural and personal preference, right? And they're just personalities about this life, right? And then we have other agencies where, for example, people are very big and sharing, and they love, you know, talking about what they're feeling or their thoughts, and those people are playing to you have a crowd when something's going on, right? Because you'll see physical like, signs of shutting down, you know, kind of pulling away. You can see that very clearly in different communities and cultures. But I think the reason we can distinguish those things is because of the people from those cultures, right? It's like me talking about my mother's needs versus our neighbors from a different culture talking about my mother's needs. I know my mother best, so I'm looking for her. I believe what she believes. I speak the language she speaks. I have the word lexicon that she has for different things, right? When she says, I'm tired, I can understand what that means in my language. Where versus when somebody else here, they maybe people will translate on the press. No, she was just saying, like, she says a good time, right? Those things are very nuanced, and it's really important for somebody to know those things based on their relationship building and their cultural information. And it's true for every culture. It's not just like the cultures that we serve. It's also very true for, you know, the majority of Americans. American culture is different towards our mental health approach than the European culture's approach to mental health, right? And somebody from America would better assist the American in their mental health than perhaps somebody who doesn't have that cultural reference, right? It's not always foolproof, but it is definitely proven that culture has a big influence on how we interact with the world and how we interact with services. And so that's really the cornerstone of our services, that we're making sure we're leaning into what people, how they see the world, which is their culture, and we're making sure that we see it with them and we walk with them on that path, and we're helping them get the access that they need and that they've identified for themselves too.
So May,
yes.
If you have more questions, May, but be sure that the presentation went to everyone. And truly, thank you.
Yes,
you're very nice.
Frank Hernandez. I'm with Office on Aging. I'm the health educator who provides the evidence-based education program for our office. It's a self-management, diabetes self-management, and gender balance.
Ladies,
okay, bye.
I've known her a long time.
So we just started our training. So we have about 9 people registered to help us deliver the program, RGB self-management diabetes management. There might be a little bit of space if they all find tomorrow to register to become a facilitator of the program. But if not, go to our website to see the workshops that we have on our website. We have a current class, the Diabetes Self-Management class, taking place in Fullerton Community Center. Starts October 12th and ends the 16th. The class takes place from 10 to 12:30. People are able to register for the first 2 sessions. If they don't register by that time, the class is closed. And keep an eye on the website to see further classes. At least some of the FCA individuals are actually being trained as well. Hopefully they can provide Arabic and any other language.
I don't know what anyone know what could she what? Had one of her languages, Khmer.
Khmer, which is
Cambodian. Oh, okay.
It's not Cambodian.
I just thought that.
It's not that.
Which we have a meeting later today to tell us tomorrow.
So I learned something new today. I would never have known that.
Khmer. Are you Frank?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, are you
Yes, I am. That's right.
Yeah.
So.
So French. Medicare is now beginning to, Medicare Advantage plans are now beginning to subdivide people into diabetic programs, heart management programs, et cetera. How is that going to affect ultimately what we're doing here at county level?
So the chronic disease self-management, or excuse me, the diabetes program is a complementary program compared to what is done in the hospitals. So it's not going diving deep into the nutrition and blood, but we do cover it. It's a complementary, and there are certain counties or hospitals that are bringing that on and having it paid through Medicaid. But that's another animal that we don't have the resources to
manage
that. Hey. Yeah.
Frank, what's the website? The Council on Aging? Or?
No, let me give you my card. It's on the back of this card. Anybody else need one? All right, I'll leave them with the. Yep.
Thank you. Oops.
All right, I have another meeting to go to.
Okay.
Thanks,
Frank.
Okay, well, as the chair, I have no new business, old business.
You want to give an update on titles?
I guess I better give an update on titles. We're not taking any questions. So the bylaw revisions was referred to the SCAC meeting last month, at last month's company meeting. Pieces of it was reviewed and discussed rather in depth, and there are additional changes and input that is being sought from the SCAC organization. So there is no decision at this point in time to submit a final version of the bylaws back to the Office on Aging that then goes to the county, again, so the attorney, and all the way back again. So at this point in time, we will continue to have our Wellness Reimagined committee meetings here as we have for the next 2 months, and we are dark in December.
And we're hoping to bring the bylaws back to SCAC at the next meeting in October. As Rachel said, we had a really, really good in-depth
discussion
regarding some of the proposed changes. One of the proposed changes is to stand down the subcommittees, like this committee and the Housing and Transportation and our Senior Citizens Engagement, and wrap those discussions into the big SCAC meeting in the hopes that people who serve on this, on these committees, if you want to be involved, there are some positions still available on SCAC. If you want to join SCAC, or you can come as a member of the public to observe what's going on and understand those discussions. So we're hoping when they come back in October, our next meeting is October 13th, I believe. It's a Friday. That's a Friday.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to be able to, I think it's either the 12th or the 13th.
13th.
All right. Oh gosh, maybe I'll change it. No. they're going to come back, and we had some really good suggestions that, we're all going to take into account. So anyone have any comments or questions on that? Going once.
Okay. You will see from your presentation schedule that Linda Cardenas, who's with HICAP, is going to make presentation about changes that are happening to Medicare for 2024, because there are some really interesting new programs being added into Medicare Advantage plans. The carriers are going in all kinds of directions. Believe me, I know, because I've been more training than I care to admit. So I think it'll be useful for you all to understand the kinds of changes that are happening. And in November, I have asked Vita, whose last name is escaping me at this moment. Vita Rusin from the Smarter Service. And she has been working with Laval on a nonprofit that she is creating that is helping older adults bring technology into their world. How do you get your refrigerator talking to you and use your phone to run your dishwasher and all of the other kinds of interesting aspects that are coming in the world? And she's going to do a basic presentation about where is technology moving us. No.
Yes,
sir. Okay. Yes, I am now open to announcements and roundtable. So, Mr. Wheat.
I want to begin again our Heritage Day this Saturday. Please invite all the seniors to come down. Have this from like 10 to 6. A Spanish oriented thing, some dancer or something. I said the Council General of Spain, a thing like that. We're trying to get reenactors to make sure that I saw something. You ever go to the beach? Revolutionary War Day, they have a big sand section on that.
We're in Laguna Hills.
It's at our sports complex on Felicia. Yeah, 5 Freeway, Alicia Boulevard.
Is it like Federal Laguna Hills High School?
Yeah, the high school's sort of up in the middle of the sports center complex down the corner.
It's in the park, too.
Yes.
Actually, the park, too.
And it was good to have a speaker today because last night we had an incident at Laguna Hills. A 25-year-old senior was in a ball back. Member of a family.
I can't hear you.
I said we had an incident last night. A senior, 75, with a ball bat, and had to be taken to the hospital. The standoff with the police for a while. So it's happening, and we're a nice and quiet city.
Where was she hit?
Well, I can't go into all the details. It's still under investigation. But please, I just want to mention that
I remember the family. On the street or shopping center or.
Well, I can't. Still under investigations. But it happened in the city and the senior was involved. That's the point I wanted to bring out. So be aware it's happening out there. It's all too frequent. Sorry, you have
the details. Probably the paper tomorrow.
Probably.
Anyone else? Sure. I just like to share that the Costa Mesa Senior Center will be hosting their Knowledge and Health Fair on Wednesday, September 27th from 10 to 1. And our Senior Center Director made a presentation on all the services that are offered to our senior membership, center membership of 2,700 at the City Council meeting last week, which was really impressive that we have 100% free classes offered to our seniors and that we have a full-time licensed social worker. So I'm very proud of the direction our center is going.
Did you comment?
No, I just, a light bulb went off.
I will make an announcement that because of my contact and networking with Dave Wheeler, he put us in touch, our Parkinson's exercise program put us in touch with their facilities people, the city of Laguna Hills, and they're offering this free space. So we're going to do a class in Laguna Hills now. It's a speech class, which is very important for Parkinson's, especially in the later stages. And so I just wanted to say thank you to Dave.
Yeah, that's very awesome. So thank you.
That's like,
It's a win-win.
Unfortunately, Sid Langley has resigned from the committee. Saddleback Church has discontinued their food drive.
Oh, food drive?
Their food drive. Well, they were having sites available all over the county and at the church where people could drive through and receive food, and they're discontinuing it. She didn't know for sure, and she doesn't know when it's going to come back.
You know, why they closed them?
I don't know. It seemed like they were running full bore. Just in case you don't know, the Great Park on October 14th will be the Global Village. Again, if you have never attended the Global Village, if you were not one of 30,000 people who came out to the Great Park to see the absolutely incredible diversity of this community, there'll be somewhere upwards of 200 clubs and organizations that are in various and assorted cultural areas. There's a whole area for kids to play in. There is a huge food court kind of thing. I think we'll have close to 100 vendors who will be selling food. There are three stages being set up with entertainment on those stages going on full bore from 9 o'clock in the morning until 7 or so at night. Really fun kind of things to do.
Wow. Not this weekend?
The 14th of October.
Oh, October
14th. And then, interestingly, for those of you who have senior events, senior expos, senior health kinds of things, Irvine had their senior expo 3 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, this huge bus that had more than 100 people on it pulled into our parking lot and dislodged a whole group of people, about 100 people, from the Inglewood, the Los Angeles Inglewood area. Came, somebody heard about the expo, and the Parks and Recreation Department hired this absolutely beautiful bus, and we had about another 100 participants who came to our health fair and our senior expo.
That's awesome.
Don't have any idea how that happened, but don't be surprised if you, because I think the Parks and Rec directors in South LA County area is paying attention to what we're doing here because we seem to have good programs and good access.
That's great. Okay. I have just one more thing before you close. I have one poster left. This is for the Board of Supervisors. Each district is going to be having a resource fair coming up in each of their districts to talk about the master plan for aging as a community survey and help people, if they are in attendance, to fill out the surveys if they want. I've asked each of you if you can ask your senior center to put this poster up so people are aware of the dates and times. Jerry, do you want them?
No, he knows not about them. I'm the same
size. And takers. Thank you. And then I'll give you a couple of flyers as well, because the flyers, the QR code is here if anyone wants to scan the QR. Yeah, thank you. Scan the QR code so they can complete the survey. The hope is we do have it available in the paper because we recognize that everyone wants to go online and complete it online. And we have it available in different languages, but the goal is to try and get as many people as possible to complete it online just to save on the work, because when the paper copy comes in, it has to be manually entered into the system. So it's just going to take a little bit more time.
Yeah, Charles. She was going to take hers to see country. So should I take it to Park and Rec or where else?
Oh, you're both good at a gal. That's right.
Or City Hall or?
City Hall. Yes.
Can I take it to City Hall?
Yes. City Hall. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Please take it to City Hall.
Do you know a nice person that I can ask to put it up?
There's the lawyer.
The clerk?
I don't know. There's a new clerk. I don't
know. I know.
Okay.
She's
I don't know.
Approachable.
Okay. And see, actually, if they can, they might be able to scan it. And they have a TV that has a rotating carousel with all this stuff on it. So if they can scan it and get it in there. Or Tara, I have it in electronic format. I can send it to you as well.
Can you send that to me too? Because I can put it in our newsletter.
Yep.
And we have 500, you know, people it goes to.
Very easy. All right. No further new business, any other announcements? I thank you all for your attention. I hope you found this as useful as I did.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. And the meeting is adjourned. It's 2:08.